Father, we are just grateful as always for the opportunity you give us to come together in prayer. We lift up your name, God. We magnify you. We exalt you and we glorify you. We just declare that you are God and there is nobody else who is above you. Nor is there anybody who is besides you. You are God all by yourself. We acknowledge, O God, indeed, that the heavens are your throne and that the earth is your footstool. You have dominion, authority, and power in this realm, in this age. Father, yours is the kingdom and yours is the glory, yours is the power forever. Father, as we pray tonight, we ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in our prayer. Holy Spirit, you are the one who knows the mind and the will of our God. Lead us that our prayer may not be in vain. Guide us that our prayer may be in accordance with what heaven ordained before the foundations of the earth concerning this hour. Let there be a shifting in the spirit, O God, and even in the atmosphere as we pray in spirit and in truth. Father, we ask for the opening up of our eyes that we may be able to see, for the opening up of our ears that we may be able to hear, for the opening of our hearts that we may be able to receive and be able to perceive. And as we pray, O God, tonight, we know that we are not coming in our own name, but we are coming in the name that is above any other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We stand not in our own righteousness, but we come in His, O God, for ours is as filthy rags before you. And Father, as you have made us kings and priests, O God, we come not empty-handed, but we come by the way of the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. And we echo the words that David declared, O God, hear our prayer and attend to our supplication. Hear us from heaven, O God, and move in our lives, O God, and moves in places that you said you are going to move tonight as we pray. Let us see a change in the atmosphere. Let us see a change in the circumstances and the situations that we are going to be engaged in prayer. And Father, we know that there are many that are joining with us tonight, and some will join later on via the technology recordings. We just ask, O God, for an impartation of your Spirit as they pray. Holy Spirit, you are not limited by time. You are not limited by geographical location. Move, not by might, nor by power, as God said, but you say it by the Spirit of the living God. Father, we know that you are the all-sufficient God. You meet every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, whoever is on the prayer line that has a need, whatever need it is, we declare that you are the all-sufficient God. You are indeed Jehovah Jireh. Anybody who needs healing, we ask that God you release your healing virtue. You said healing is the children's bread. Release that healing, O God, to come upon them for your praise and for your glory. Father, those that are asking for doors to be opened, we ask for significant doors of blessing, significant doors of elevation, significant doors of prosperity to be opened in their lives. Ones that you said when you open, no man can shut, we ask that they be opened, wide, wide open, that you give them the grace and the strength to be able to walk through the doors that you have opened. And Father, for some that are praying for financial breakthroughs, you said you own a cattle on 1,000 hills. You said all the silver is yours and all the gold is yours. And you say you will not withhold any good thing, O God, from your children. Therefore, we ask, O God, for an outpouring, an outbreak, O God, of financial breakthroughs. Debts being canceled and bills being paid, O God. Checks coming in the mail, unexpected blessings being released, O God, because you are a mighty God and you are a good God. You are the one who gives good gifts to your sons and your daughters. And Father, we just pray, O God, for the atmospheres in their homes to change for the better. Father, for your peace to descend upon their homes, for your peace to encompass, and Father, their hearts, their minds. Wherever their sons and their daughters are, may they experience the grace, the mercy of God. And Father, we ask for the strengthening of their internal relationships, their internal bonds, that the bond of perfection, which is love, may be made manifest in its fullness, according to the definition you gave us in 1 Corinthians 13, that they signaled out for their own, but oh God, they give for the benefit of those that they love. My fathers being restored to the sons, and sons being restored to their fathers, and mothers the same with their daughters. Move, O God, in their homes, that there may be a testimony of your goodness. There may be a testimony of your grace and your mercy. And Father, even in their jobs, we just ask for a release of your favor. Your word says, he that has found favor with God will find favor with man. Release your favor upon them, O God. Let men do what they normally wouldn't do, because the favor of God is resting upon your sons and your daughters. And Father, we pray, O God, for the cities that they belong. You are the God of a city as much as you are the God of the nation. Let the heavens, O God, be continually open over their cities. May angels be ascending and descending. May the glory of God be more pronounced in their midst. May there be an outpouring of the miraculous, an outpouring of the supernatural. Deaf ears being opened, blind eyes being opened. Father, the ones that are mute being able to speak, the lame being able to walk, as only you can do, O God. Father, I ask for an outpouring of prophetic visions and prophetic dreams, because your spirit is moving. As you declared by the prophet Joel, that in that day you will pour out your spirit without measure. Pour out your spirit, O God, without measure in their cities, in their neighborhoods, O God, in their subdivisions. Pour out your spirit without measure. And as you pour out your spirit, O God, without measure, let hearts begin to turn. Turn towards righteousness and not wickedness. And as they are turning, O God, may they be verifiable proof and evidence that indeed God of the city has moved in. You are the God who brought down the walls of Jericho. Therefore, there is nothing that the enemy can instruct, the enemy can resurrect, or the enemy can build, but God, that can withstand your power. Father, there may be walls of addiction, walls of perversion, God. You did for the walls of Jericho. Do the same in the city. Let walls of hatred, O God, be broken tonight in the name of Jesus. Let walls of poverty, O God, be broken for your glory and for your glory alone. Let the atmospheres, O God, in their neighborhoods begin to change as the light of God begins to penetrate in. Your word says, O God, in the presence of darkness, when light comes, darkness must flee. Let the light of God be more pronounced in their cities and their neighborhood. Let there be an announcement that is made, O God, tonight, a prophetic declaration that we must arise and shine, for our light has come. In that city, the light of God is going to be more pronounced. The light of God is going to shine ever more brightly. As hearts are being turned, O God, generations are being reformed and transformed as they are going to engage with the King of Glory. We declare Psalm 24 over those neighborhoods, O God, whose ancient doors have been locked for generations. We say, be ye lifted up, O ye ancient doors, ye ancient gates, be open, that the King of Glory may enter in. And Father, as you move in those cities, O God, let things begin to change for your praise and for your glory. We thank you, O God, for how you are empowering the ministers and the ministries in those cities, O God. You say, O God, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Father, move as you begin to mark those that you have called your own, those that you have given assignments in the city. We call them forth, O God, to rise to their place, O God, that you have called them to. We call, O God, for the Haggai's to rise, for the Zechariah's to rise. We call for the Habakkuk's, O God, to rise in their cities, O God. Ones that will declare prophetically the voice of God, declaring what God has said shall be, calling people to a place of repentance, giving their lives back to God. We thank you, O God, that as you do so, darkness is going to be broken. Destinies are going to be made manifest, O God. The plans you declared, O God, that you have for them to give them a hope and a future are going to be revealed. Let the love of God be the hallmark of the people in those cities, O God. Where there has been hatred, let the love of God be more pronounced, O God. Where there have been discord, let there be unity and peace that prevails, that only God can give. And as you move, O God, let the parents, O God, have their hearts settled, O God. because they know that their sons and their daughters are in the hands of a capable God. And as you move, oh God, let the ministries, oh God, be empowered with significant levels of revelation and resources, oh God, that they may be able to do what heaven has assigned for them to do. And as they cry out, oh God, crying out for thy kingdom to come and for thy will to be done, let their cry be not in vain in their cities. But God, let your kingdom come, oh God, in demonstration and in power. And as your kingdom moves, oh God, in the midst, oh God, let healings take place, oh God, deliverances and salvations. Father, miracles, oh God, that can only be explained by faith. Supernatural doings of God that can only be explained by faith. Angelic visitations and angelic interventions. Divine, oh God, interferences in the things of darkness, oh God, that the love of God may be more pronounced. An outpouring of revival, not only that which people imagine, but oh God, as you declared in Ephesians, you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Move, oh God, in might and in power. Dethrone, oh God, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, demonic thrones being brought low because the King of Glory is stepping in. Let the works of darkness, O God, be exposed, that the works of light may be established, O God, for the praise and the glory of the saints of the Most High. Your word says, O God, when the righteous rule, people rejoice. Let righteousness rise, O God, and let righteous rulers, O God, rise up in their cities and in their neighborhoods. Let righteousness, O God, be the hallmark. And Father, for those that you have called as intercessors, O God, we sound the alarm, we sound the trumpet, and we say, awaken, awaken, O watchmen, awaken, because the Lord of glory is calling. Who shall go to the place of rampant to hear what God has to say, to see what God has to reveal? Father, as you call them the gatekeepers, O God, let them arise and begin to watch the gates you have assigned for them to watch over, the gates of time, the gates of the cities that give people in and out access, O God, not only in the physical realm, but those that watch over the gates in the spirit, O God, let them arise. Let them not sleep nor slumber, but, O God, let them be attentive to what is happening in the heavenlies. Let them be attentive, O God, to what is happening in the spirit dimension. And, Father, give them the boldness to be able to declare what is being revealed, and let them stand steadfast on what God has shown them. Whether they be persecution or not, O God, let them stand steadfast on what has been revealed, knowing that your word, O God, shall not return to you void, but will accomplish everything you have sent it to accomplish. Let them be empowered, O God, to stand steadfast on the word of God, knowing that indeed our God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. That his words and his promises are yes and amen. And as you are declaring, O God, for the watchmen to arise, let them not do it according to their own understanding nor according to the flesh. But, O God, as your spirit give them wisdom, as your spirit, O God, empowers them, let them stand on the true word of God by faith. For, Father, your word says, without faith it is indeed impossible to please you. Let faith arise in them, O God, that they may not be men of great significance and women of great significance in the realm of the flesh, O God, but in the world, but in the spirit, O God, they are mighty men and women of God that have been chosen for such a time as this, as you did for Esther. Let them arise, O God, let them arise, O God, to declare that this is the time to seek God until he rains righteousness on us. We pray, O God, for the anointing of Issachar to be raised up in the cities, O God. As you say, the sons of Issachar knew, could be able to discern the seasons and the times, to be able to know what Israel ought to do. Let the sons of Issachar rise up in the cities, O God. Let the sons of Issachar rise up in the neighborhoods, O God. Let the sons of Issachar rise up in the states, O God, for them to be able to declare that thus says the Lord, and this what is what needs to be done. And I pray that, God, as you are raising up the sons of Issachar in their midst, O God, their hearts are going to be prepared to receive what the sons have discerned. And as they receive what the sons have discerned, O God, let them not only be people that rejoice at the hearing, but let them be people that rejoice at the doing of what God has declared must be done. As you did, O God, in the day of Jonah when you sent him to Nineveh, it is cry, O God, the kings cried out for the nation to repent and called for a fast, O God. Let them begin to arise, O God, and let them begin to perceive and receive what the prophets are saying, what the mighty watchmen have declared, that cities may be brought down to their knees in a place of repentance. As you, God, as you hear their cries by the word of Solomon, as he declared when you spoke to him, O God, he said, if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, that God, you are going to hear from heaven. As they turn away from their wicked ways, O God, you're going to heal their land. As they are calling, O God, the watchmen declaring and proclaiming what they have heard. And Father, the men being able to perceive and being able to receive, let there be a total transformation in the cities. Healings, O God, taking place, O God. Generational patterns of iniquity being broken in bloodlines. Father, cultures of abuse, cultures of destruction, and the couches of poverty being broken, because you said you are doing a new thing. You are the one who causes, O God, streams to flow in the desert places. You are the one who causes the barren, O God, to be a mother of many. We ask, O God, that as you move in the city, O God, old ways of doing things, old patterns of thinking are being changed, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And Father, as you begin to transform people's minds, as you begin to renew the atmosphere, let there be a significant change in behavior, because the ways of thinking have been changed for your glory and for your glory alone. We ask, O God, that in the neighborhoods where they are praying, in the cities where they are praying, O God, that your way of thinking becomes the predominant paradigm in the cities, O God, in the neighborhoods, O God, that the ways of our God, which are just, are going to be extolled and exalted above all other ways, that our God himself may be magnified, that our God himself may be pleased by what he sees. And Father, we thank you, O God, for the girls that are being redeemed. We thank you for the sons that are being redeemed as you move in their midst, O God. As you said, O God, to Zerubbabel, O God, by the prophet Zechariah, you say, tell my servant, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. We say, O God, do the same in the city. Move by your spirit, O God. Move by your spirit, O God. In the most unlikely places, O God, let healing and restoration break out, that people may see the authenticity of the kingdom of God in demonstration and in power in their neighborhoods and in their cities. And we thank you, O God, for the various testimonies that are going to come because of the great things that you are doing. We thank you and we praise you, O God. Tonight we are mindful, O God, to know that indeed you are also the God over our nation. You are the God of glory. You are the one who ordained the destiny of this nation before the foundations of the world. You are the one who knew who will be alive and who will be called people of God in the midst of all the chaos. You are still God in this nation, even though many may not acknowledge, but you are still God. Your love, O God, is still being shared abroad in our hearts, O God. Lives are being changed. Homes are being changed. People are being empowered in this nation, O God, by your Spirit. And Father, we want to turn our hearts, our minds, and our spirits towards you, following the pattern that Solomon established, O God, that wherever we are, if we turn our hearts back to you, O God, you will hear our prayer, as you did for Daniel on that day when he understood by the books the words of the prophet Jeremiah and went into a place of repentance and intercession. And Father, you released angels with answers. We pray that, O God, as we pray tonight, angelic hosts are being released, ones that you said are ministers unto the heirs of salvation, ministers of flame, are being released, O God, with the answers to the prayers, with the answers for the things that are yet to come For God, you did not only respond to Daniel to show him what you would do in his day concerning what he had read, but Father, you showed him all the things that are going to come in the days of the future. Some things that you sealed and some things that you revealed. God, do the same in our cities. Do the same in our nation. Father, we call forth, O God, for the true Elijahs, O God, to rise. For the true Elijahs, O God, to rise in our nation. Men and women that are not given to greed, but that love the righteousness of our God. That will declare that this is what God has said. They will not stand in a place to appease human flesh or human conscience, but they will declare what God has said. Father, we pray that as they are declaring what heaven has declared, O God, may they have the boldness of the John the Baptist, O God, to be able to declare even in the face of those that are contrary to your ways and contrary to your kingdom, that this is what God has declared. Father, tonight I pray for a realignment of focus, a realignment of desire, a realignment of purpose. That God, ours, O God, is not to pursue our own agenda, but ours, O God, is to be like the 24 elders, O God, who cast down their crowns before the King of Glory. We acknowledge, O God, that there is only one throne in heaven, and it is the Lord our Savior who sits on that throne, the King of Glory. We bow down, O God, and say, have your way. Our ways we lay aside and we embrace your ways. And we say, God, have your way in our midst. Have your way in our midst for your glory and for your glory alone. Father, I pray for ministry platforms to open for the ministers that are on the prayer line tonight. Let platforms of influence open, stages of influence open. Father, doors of opportunity and blessing open. I pray, O God, for a significant increase in the resources that they need for the work of the kingdom to advance. Send them co-laborers, O God, people that will support the vision that you have given. Send them, O God, Barnabas, O God, with the spirit of encouragement to encourage them as they pursue what heaven has said they must pursue. And we praise you, O God. We glorify you, O God. And we just exalt you, O God, as you are raising them up, O God, and lifting them up, O God. Let the Elijahs rise, O God, to declare what heaven has said, O God, to bring judgment to some things that must be judged, to establish whatever must be established, to uproot whatever must be uprooted, O God, for your glory and for your glory alone. As you move, O God, as you move, O God, let your true church rise up, O God, as a place of unity, healing, deliverance, and salvation. Let our divisions, O God, our divisive positions, O God, be annihilated, O God, that we may come in the trueness of one faith, one baptism, and one hope under the leadership of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we pursue not our own agendas, but we pursue the agenda of the kingdom, that his glory, his power, and his might might be seen in our midst. Father, raise up men and women who have the willingness to go and pursue, to go to the outermost, O God, to go in the highways and the byways, to be able to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that their lives may be saved. We ask, O God, not just revival in the church, O God, but revival even outside the walls of the church, that wayward sons and daughters may be brought back into the fold. You say, O God, you leave the 99 to pursue that one which has been lost. We ask, O God, that you do the same. Sons who have been gone for a long time, only you, O God, can redeem and bring back. Daughters, O God, that have been gone for months, only you, O God, can redeem and bring back, O God. I pray that, O God, as you move, as you redeem, something is going to happen, O God. There is going to be a tremendous outpouring of joy in the midst of the congregation as they see God begin to complete the work. Let them not be judgmental, but let them rejoice as God begins to add to the church. For your praise, O God, and for your glory, we thank you for the work you're doing in the cities. We thank you for the work you're doing in the nations, O God. How you are calling, how the trumpet is sounding, how Christ is breaking forth, how the kingdom is being established, O God, one dimension to another. As you are raising up your sons and daughters from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from one dimension to another, let them not lose, O God, focus of the prize, of the mark that has been set before them. But it is about the establishment of the kingdom, not their own agendas, not their own kingdoms, but the kingdom of the King of glory being raised up in the midst. We thank you, O God. We praise you for a great level of understanding that is coming upon the leadership of your church. That God, they are not the ones who are building the church, but it is Christ through them who is establishing his work in the earth. God, let them come into alignment, embrace the positions that you have given them, O God, that they will not be judgmental of one who has been called to a different assignment from theirs, that they will not compare their works, O God, to a different assignment that has been called on somebody else. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to pray that as I was just praying, I want to ask that God will deal with the hand that has been sowing discord in the cities, that God will deal with the hand that has been sowing discord in the midst of the congregation. I saw a hand, literally a withered hand, stepping in the midst, begin to agitate the atmosphere in the congregations, atmosphere in the cities, and as they begin to stir up, there begins to be complaining murmurings within the congregation. There begins to be a greater level of division in the congregation in the city, because that hand is moving, that hand is agitating, that hand is stirring up the pot, not to bring unity, but to bring confusion and disparagement in the midst of the congregation. But we pray that tonight, the one who is able to do above all that we can ever do, the one who judges the hearts of men, the one who has pronounced judgment on all principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions, to step in the midst, O God, to be able, O God, to rebuke that hand that is sowing discord and confusion in the name of our Lord and Savior. We thank you, O God, that hand of deception is being stopped and hindered, O God, in its work. Father, you are the one who is the sword, O God, that is able to cut off that hand. We say, O God, let it be according to your word. Somebody say hallelujah. And you realize that what the Lord is showing, this hand has been in the city for a while. It's an ancient hand. It's an ancient hand that is tearing up the pot. I can see the scales on the hand, and I can see the nails on the hand. It's tearing up the pot. It's tearing up the pot. But we are saying, God, tonight pronounce judgment on that thing, that God, it will not complete its work in the name of Jesus. And you are going to begin seeing an uplifting of the atmosphere in the church. It's going to be like there is an awakening. And when I say an awakening, there is going to be a rising up from a slumber that the people of the congregation have been under. They have been arguing and fighting because of that slumber, a sleepiness that has been put on the congregation. That they do not see, they are not mindful that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and spirits of wickedness that are ruling in high places. We are contending with that. So what's happening is the enemy has been able to internalize the fight in the congregation, but the congregation now becomes a weapon of destruction because they are fighting amongst each other. But right now, in the name that is above any other name, we command clarity, O God, and awakening to happen in that congregation, O God, for them to be able to realize they are meant to stand side by side and fight against the adversary. adversary and not fight against one another in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, let the spirit of love, the spirit of brotherly love, the spirit of Philadelphia rise up in the midst of the congregation to know that we are one body, the body of Christ. We are joined together as living stones, building up a temple for the Holy Ghost, a place where God might abide and dwell, that we are not divided in the name that is above any other name. We thank you, O God, for what you are doing. We thank you, O God, for what you're doing. We thank you, O God, for what you're doing. We thank you, O God, for what you're doing. We thank you, O God, for what you're doing. We thank you, O God, for what you are doing. We thank you, O God, for the angels that you have sent in to enforce your judgment, that that hand will be cut off in the name of Jesus. That there is going to be healing that's going to take place. There is going to be a lot of forgiveness that's going to take place in the congregation, because now we are going to realize we have been fighting a wrong fight. In the name of Jesus. And here's what I want to say, and here's how it's been manifesting from what I'm seeing. It has been manifesting as a deep divide in the leadership of the church. There are two factions that are rising up in the church right now. Two factions that are rising up in the church right now that have been warring, hurling insults from one place to another, accusing each other of works of darkness. It has been that hand that has been put in to sow discord. But right now, in the name of Jesus, O God, we declare that unity is coming, that peace is coming in the name of Jesus. And here's what I sense, and what's been happening is, as the leadership has been fighting, the congregation has been forced to take sides. But tonight it's over in the name of Jesus. It is over. We speak the unity of God in the midst of that congregation for the glory of our Father in heaven. It is as we have prayed. It is as we have declared in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for healing. There is literally going to be like a family reunion in the congregation, because you are going to realize we are not meant to be fighting against each other, but to be able to stand with one another, to be able to raise up each other when we fall, to be able to uplift each other when encouragement is needed. Somebody say hallelujah. I thank God for that church. And here's the thing. It's no, you are not being kept together because you have been able to put together a great program. I know that some of the people in the congregation have been saying, well, we stay together because of the great name and the history of the congregation. But God is saying that is not the case. You are staying together because there is a great assignment that has been set on that church. That is why the enemy is trying to fight. He doesn't want that assignment to be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. And if you allow the congregation to be split, that means that assignment is going to be delayed. But we declare, the word of God said, that the gates of Hades will not prevail against this church. We stand on that word. And Father, you said when the enemy comes in like a flood, you said your spirit will raise up a standard. Tonight we say, let that word, O God, be the word that prevails against any demonic interruption. Let that be the word that prevails against any demonic instrumentality or destruction of division. Your word says the gates of Hades will not prevail against us. We stand on that word. Father, we thank you that as the healing is taking place, as the healing is taking place in the church, it's going to be getting to a season of overflow, into a season of overflow. So the healing is not just going to take place in terms of the congregation, but in your individual homes, you're going to begin seeing the residue the overflow. You're going to begin seeing your relationships are going to change significantly. There's going to be a great level of cordiality in the midst of the people. There's going to be a greater level of agreement in the name of Jesus. There is going to be, I see an outpouring of love in the midst of the family, an outpouring of love. There is going to be a great season of forgiveness, offenses being let go. God is going to heal and restore, and you're going to find as that begins to happen, there is literally going to be a manifestation of physical healings, because the physical ailments that have been present have been because the heart has been heavy, the heart has been sore because of the division, the constant arguments, and the constant fighting. But as God begins to bring the spirit of unity, as God begins to bring the spirit of unity, there's really going to be healings that are going to take place, because the hearts are being set aright, the yokes are being taken away, the burdens are being removed, the guilt, the unforgiveness, the anger, and the resentment is being removed. I just want to declare that whatever is happening in that congregation, whatever is happening in your home, this is going to be the greatest season relationally in your life, relationally in your home. It is going to be the greatest season. You're going to be wondering, when was the last time we had an argument? When was the last time that we had a fight? It's because God is going, stepping in the midst of it, and He is rearranging everything and changing it for the glory of our Father in heaven. I thank God, but it just doesn't do a work in the midst of the congregation, but it takes it up to our own homes, because we are the ones who make up the congregation. Somebody say hallelujah. We are the ones who make up the congregation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I see there's going to be a spirit of prayer that's going to be released in that church, because the destiny of that church is not in preaching, but the destiny of that church is in intercession. The destiny of that church is in travail. The destiny of that church is in prayer. And as you begin to travail, as you begin to intercede, as you begin to pray, la rabando koshukura basiria bakarabaha rebronda bakarebre shukura base rabresto kobronde bikarae kusharaba. As you begin to pray, as you begin to pray, I see things moving at an accelerated place in the city, because what's happening, what I see happening is as you begin to pray, as you begin to engage in that dimension, as you begin to engage in that realm, I see I see an anchor being pulled from the water. Because that's the assignment, to break the anchor. That's the assignment, to break the anchor. And as the anchor begins to break, karebro saraba deki araba brestombre daraba kiriado shokoraba endri soko shara rebraste karibro ndi pratesta karabi kubushia dasete ki kara prandere kubusha dasete be kumbreste kara kiribraste bronde diabaka sharaba. And as you begin to pray, Kosta Barai, as you begin to pray, the anchor begins to lift. You're going to begin realizing two things are going to happen. There are some programs that have been associated with this of a spiritual nature, that are church programs that have been progressing at a snail pace, that are going to begin accelerating in the midst of a city. Because the anchor, but that's depending on how the church is going to be praying for the anchor to be lifted. And that's not only going to affect some of the spiritual religious programs you are going to be engaged in, but there are some civic programs that are also going to be accelerated, because what's been happening, it has been a spiritual hindrance that the church has been called by God to stand in the gap and break that hindrance. And the social programs that are going to accelerate are going to really bring tremendous blessings to generations. They're going to bring tremendous tremendous blessings to the youth. They're going to bring literally a transformative factor in the city because of what God is going to do. So your church, the reason why there's been division is the enemy wanted to subvert. He wanted to refocus you to something else. But God is saying today, no, there is a refocusing. There is a realignment. There is a recasting of vision that is taking place because God is saying it is time. I know that the preacher says in Ecclesiastes 3 to each and everything under the sun, there is a season and there is a time. For everything under the earth, there is a purpose. I want to let you know that the season for that anchor to be removed in the city has come. And God is calling your congregation. So what I'm saying is stop focusing on the internal things. Look up unto the heavens from whence cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. Call upon the name. Can I just give you, if I were you, this is what I will begin to pray. I will go read 2 Chronicles 6 and 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 6 and 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 6 and 2 Chronicles 7. That's what you're going to begin praying. That's going to begin praying. It says, if we turn our hearts towards your house, not to a man, not to anybody else, but if we turn our hearts towards our God, He is the one who is able to heal our land. So that's what God is calling. The restoration and healing in the city because of the congregation. Unity is coming. So Father, right now, we declare this word. We declare healing, restoration, and unity in the congregation. We call forth, O God, for a repurposing, a realignment, a refocusing to the vision that has been laid out by God, that we are laying down personal agendas. We are saying, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done. There is an instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples. He says to them, love one another, that they might know that you are my disciples. I'm going to say it again. Love one another, that they might know that you are my disciples. So the distinctive factor that Jesus said, besides the preaching of the word, the distinctive factor that shows that we are the disciples of Christ is when we begin to love one another. So let the spirit of love be more evident in the congregation. Reverence and respect for one another be more prominent in the congregation because God is healing and restoring. Somebody say hallelujah. Healing and restoring. Healing and restoring in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Now I'm just gonna pray just a few more things. But right now, Father, we take our governmental positions as apostolic voices. We take our governmental position as part of the ecclesia in the name of Jesus. We say, O God, by the authority, O God, that is upon us, we cancel every death assignment on your people right now in the name of Jesus. Everything that the enemy has set out to bring death, O God, we command it to stop right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we speak life and life more abundantly, O God, over those whose lives have been pronounced cut short. We declare that, God, they are going to live in the name of Jesus. That, God, they are not going to die in this season because it has not been ordained by heaven. Father, we come against every demonic conception that has been conceived to bring death. We declare that you will not prevail. Every ordinance, O God, that has been invoked, O God, to enforce death, we revoke now in the name of Jesus, O God. Every enchantment, every curse, O God, that has been spoken to bring and manifest death, we cancel you. We cancel you in the name of Jesus, God. Every weapon that has been formed, O God, to bring about a manifestation of death, we declare that our Lord is alive, and we speak his life over his people in the name of Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. I declare and I decree that every trap that the enemy had set in the way to bring death around you, God is deactivating and disabling right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray for the glory of my Father in heaven, every accident that has been planned by the enemy to bring death into your life, even in the lives of your family and our families, we cancel that in the name of Jesus. We declare that you will not prevail, you will not prevail, you will not prevail, but our God has prevailed. He has power over death, hell, and the grave. We declare that he has spoken life over us. We will not die before our time, but we will be in the land of the living, seeing the goodness of God and declaring his works in the name of Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. We celebrate life and not death. We celebrate life and not death. Whatever sickness the enemy has contrived to come upon your life to bring it to death, we cancel it now in the name of Jesus. And I'm speaking not only about physical death, I'm declaring that even your dreams that the enemy has sought to kill are going to leave. You are going to see their manifestation in the name of Jesus. The promises that God gave you, the enemy will not kill them. They are going to leave. Oh, shut up. And here is the thing, I feel it just rumbling in my spirit. I feel it rumbling in my spirit. You have to understand that the enemy, when the enemy wants to kill your vision, when the enemy wants to kill your plans and your purposes, what the enemy is trying to do and what the enemy wants to do is to make you feel that your vision is limited. I want you to know that your vision is a multi-generational vision. Your vision is a multi-generational vision. So when God says I am going to resurrect your vision, when God says I am going to cause death to pass over your vision, that simply means this: death is going to pass over your sons and your daughters because they are part of your generational vision. Therefore, I declare that death will not come over your sons and your daughters. Death will not come over your children and their children's children. That's your grandchildren, because God is preserving the generational blessing. God is preserving the generational vision. God is preserving the generational promise. Somebody say hallelujah. I can literally give you a prophetic insight. I can literally give you a prophetic prototype, a prophetic example of what God did. God made a promise to David that David, they will all always be a man from the house of David who will sit on the throne of David. There will always be a man. So throughout all the generations, through all their iniquity, because God made a generational promise to David, our Lord and Savior Yeshua HaMashiach, the son of David, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is sitting on the throne forever, because God made a promise to David, which was a generational promise. You have to understand that Solomon, God could have taken Solomon out because of his wickedness, loving strange women, but God had made a promise to David, and because of the promise he made to David, Solomon was preserved. Anybody hearing me? That means your sons and your daughters are going to be covered because God has made a promise to you. In the name of Jesus. That means wherever they are right now, they are covered. Wherever they are right now, they are covered in the name that is above any other name. Therefore, death assignments, we cancel in the name of Jesus. Every work of witchcraft that has been sent to bring death into your life, we cancel. Every dark magic that has been sent to bring death into your life, we cancel in the name of Jesus. Every enchantment, every chanting, every spell that has been spoken to bring death into your life, we command it now to be turned null and void by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. It is being rendered powerless. I pray that those that have been speaking death over you are going to be astounded, because life is going to manifest. I silence every blood that is speaking death over you. I silence every blood that is calling from the grave. I silence you in the name of Jesus. Every blood that is speaking from the ground, crying out for vengeance, crying out for your death, we silence you by the blood of Jesus. We say, you have no power to speak over our lives. You have no power to direct over our lives, but we belong to the one and only mighty God. And our days are in his hands, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I silence every sacrifice, every animal sacrifice that has been made for your death. We declare that it has no power. It has no power. It has no power in the name of Jesus. It has no power. In the name of Jesus. It has no power in the name of Jesus. And here's the thing. I silence every altar that is calling for your death right now. Be silenced in the name of Jesus. Be silenced in the name of Jesus. Be silenced in the name of Jesus. Now here's the final thing. Here's the final thing. Every accusation that is being raised against you because of your past mistakes, because of your faults of old, we command it dismissed now in the name of Jesus. Ashokarabas. Father, right now, we call off the hunters. We call off the hunters. Ashokarabas. Ekohosharaba. Ekaraboshut. This is what I see. This is what I see. It's more like they are bounty hunters that have been sent after you. They are tricking you in the spirit. But right now we hide you under the blood of Jesus. We hide you under the blood of Jesus. They will not find you. Here is the thing, Psalm 91, Psalm 91, Psalm 91, Psalm 91, Psalm 91, that's your refuge. We put you under the shadow of the Almighty. See, here is the thing, what the Lord is showing. Darkness will never search out for things in light. You don't need darkness to find something in light. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. But you need light to find something in darkness. So darkness cannot search in the light. So if you are hiding in the light, darkness will come, not come and find you. Because light and darkness have no fellowship. When light comes, darkness must flee. So we hide you under his pavilion, under the shadow of his wings. The enemy will not find you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So we call off the hunters. In the name of Jesus. They will not have their way. But God is going to prevail. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just to remind you that God was about to write the final work of deliverance to break the hand of the mighty Egyptians over the children of Israel. And he gave specific instructions to Moses and said to them, go and tell them to find a lamb without spot or without blemish. Says they're going to kill the lamb, they're going to put the blood in a basin. They're going to take leaves of hyssop and they're going to sprinkle the blood on the doorposts of their houses. Because death is about to come. And he says, but when the angel of death passes over, wherever there is blood, wherever there is blood, wherever there is blood, there will be a Passover. Wherever there is blood, there is already what? A Passover. Now, here's the thing. That's my final statement. You can go study your theology. You will find it is plausible and it's true. You see, you cannot kill what has been redeemed. Because what has been redeemed has already died. That means you cannot kill the same thing twice. So when the death angel was passing over, the death angel was looking for a place where there has been no death. Where there has been no death, the death angel will bring death. But where there has already been death of the firstborn who has been redeemed already. All right. Let me put it this way. Just to expand your perspective of the Bible. In that day, every household in Egypt experienced the death of the firstborn. Every household. Why? Even in the house of the Jews, there was a death of the firstborn, but it wasn't the death of the actual firstborn. It was the birth. It was the death of the firstborn. Of the firstborn of the begotten. It was the death of the Redeemer. So which means the firstborn could not be killed because there was already a firstborn who died in their stead. That was the lamb that was slain. So you can go study your theology. You will find it. I thank God for the blood that is covering you. I thank God for your redemption by the blood of Jesus. That there is a Passover because you are covered by the blood. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me just say this. Our God is really an awesome God. He is an awesome God. I hear the words of the psalmist when he said, who is man that thou art mindful of him? Our God loves us so much, he's mindful of us. Day and night he watches over us because we are the apple of his eye. And you see, God will not just watch over us because we are the apple of his eye and say, yeah, I know you are. But God wants you to experience what it feels like to be the apple of his eye. Therefore, God is going to raise you up. He is going to strengthen you. He is going to cleanse you. He's going to empower you because you are the apple of His eye. Indeed, you are His beloved. And He calls you beautiful because you are His beloved. Father, I thank You for this hour. Thank You for the steadfastness of time. I thank You that as we have prayed tonight, oh God, something has shifted and something has changed. As we pray tonight, oh God, somebody is experiencing the fullness of Your love because our God has moved. Somebody is experiencing a renewal of life because our God has moved. We thank You, oh God. Now for the men and women that are on this line tonight that have joined their faith with ours, we speak the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and they add no sorrow with them to manifest in their lives. Whatever they've poured out, may it be poured back into them, O God, without measure. May they see the enlargement of their territories as You did for Jabez. May they see Your guiding hand in their lives as You did for Joseph. May they see the favor of God as You showed Joseph in the sight of Pharaoh. May they see and understand the ways of God as You revealed to Moses on that mountain. We thank You, O God, for their lives. May they experience the greatness of their God as You pour out Your wisdom upon their lives as You did for Solomon. Father, let their renown and their fame go to the ends of the earth, as You did for Solomon when the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, came to visit. Let them be astounded by the goodness of God. And Father, as they pray, may they be like Hannah to have their prayer answered in the midst of the congregation, to see their barrenness broken and fruitfulness restored. And Father, we thank You, we praise You, O God, that like David, Your hand is upon their lives for Your glory and for Your glory alone. All this we pray, O God, in the name of the author and the finisher of our faith, the high priest of our confession, the captain of our salvation, the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of David. Amen, amen, and amen.